Welcome to the Cancer Care Connect workshop. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. During the workshop, you will hear from our panel of expert speakers. We will allow time for questions and comments following the presentation. Instructions will be given at that time. If anyone should require assistance during the workshop, please press star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. As a reminder, this workshop is being recorded. I would like to introduce your moderator for today's workshop, Dr. Carolyn Messner, Senior Director of Education and Training at Cancer Care. Please go ahead.
Oh, thank you so much, Regina. And I, too, would like to welcome everyone to today's Cancer Care Connect workshop. And this program is done in collaboration with the Triple Negative Breast Cancer Foundation. And the title of today's program is For Caregivers, Coping with the Stresses of Caregiving When Your Loved One Has Triple Negative Breast Cancer. And this is part two of Living with Metastatic Triple Negative Breast Cancer. And today's program is made possible by the Triple Negative Breast Cancer Foundation, an independent grant from Merck and Company, Inc., and a grant from Genentech. And I really want to thank them for their support of this program. Now, before I introduce our first speaker, I have a couple of things I want to do. First, I want to let you know that there are over 300 participants on the call today. You come from all of the United States, from both urban, rural, suburban, and frontier communities. And we also have international participants from Algeria, Canada, Germany, Japan, Kenya, the Philippines, Romania, Trinidad and Tobago, and the United Kingdom. So truly a global call, and it's really wonderful that so many of you have chosen to spend this next hour with us. And particularly this emphasis on caregiving is so important. You know, this is National Caregiving Month, and to some extent we are doing a number of caregiving programs, and this is one that is for caregivers of people coping with a loved one's triple negative breast cancer. And now it is my great pleasure to introduce our first speaker. And our first speaker is Dr. Jessica Trevino-Jones. And Dr. Jones is breast medical oncologist, Mays Cancer Center, associate professor, Division of Hematology Oncology, the University of Texas Health Science Center at San Antonio, director, Cancer Risk Reduction and Education Program, UT Health San Antonio, MD Anderson Cancer Center. And Dr. Jones will be addressing an overview of metastatic triple negative breast cancer and caregiving for your loved one with metastatic triple negative breast cancer, the important role of the caregiver in communicating with the healthcare team. It's really my great pleasure now to turn this program over to my esteemed colleague, Dr. Jones.
Thank you, Dr. Messner, and thank you to everybody on the call today. I appreciate your time, and I look forward to sharing with you some of the newest information about metastatic triple-negative breast cancer. I think it's most important for us to, again, clarify what is metastatic triple-negative breast cancer. The person that we're caring for has had triple-negative breast cancer, either cancer that has returned because they had it in the past, or they were diagnosed with metastatic triple negative breast cancer altogether up front the first time. Triple negative breast cancer does not have markers or targets like other forms of breast cancer, but now more than ever, we're understanding how inflammation and our immune system works with triple negative breast cancer. Metastatic triple negative breast cancer has spread to other parts of the body, which means that while we treat it and we manage symptoms, there is no cure. But instead of thinking to ourselves, no cure, I want to instead focus on hope. Because more than ever, we're understanding how to manage cancer and ensuring the best quality of life. And as a provider, my role and my job is to work with you and your loved one to find the best treatment options. And in order to communicate best with the care team, it's important that I share what are the treatments that we give for metastatic triple negative breast cancer? The way that we treat metastatic triple negative breast cancer now is much different from even 3 and 5 years ago. First and foremost, when a woman has this diagnosis, we look to see if there are certain markers, or what we would call biomarkers, on the tumor cells. Depending on what we see, will tell us what medicines that we should start off with. The medications that we should start off with do include chemotherapy. Chemotherapy is known to have a certain amount of side effects. But in addition to chemotherapy, we're often using new therapy called immunotherapy. We are also looking at patients. We're looking at his or her DNA, and we're trying to understand, is there something that they were born with or inherited from their family that made this cancer happen or made this cancer easier to get? If that is the case, we're able to offer new therapies that are pills and control cancer as well. So I'd like to take a second to give a broad overview of what our patient is receiving. At the end of the day, the therapies that they will be receiving to prolong and to give the best quality of life will have side effects. And because our patient needs to stay on medication, the role of a caregiver is so, so important. They will be unable to do the things that they used to do. And though it is my role and the healthcare team's role to make it the best possible life, being able to give everything and giving all the opportunities, we want our patients to go to birthday parties. We want our patients to go on trips. We want our patients to have a great life while receiving medications. The medications, though, will have side effects. The most common side effects are going to include nausea and vomiting, as well as GI side effects, such as diarrhea. Because we're using newer therapies, such as immunotherapy or targeted therapy, we're also seeing side effects that are related to the immune system. More than ever, because of how we are changing things, communicating with the healthcare team is vital in providing the best care. Patients, oftentimes, because we are dealing with the medication, providers like myself may spend a lot of time during our appointments understanding what they are feeling and how they are feeling it. Because of this, a healthcare team, to include a social worker and other roles, are going to be important. But I'd like to instead also focus and share with you that as a physician, it is my responsibility to ensure that the medications I am giving are not harming my patient in a way that would prevent me from continuing their care. So while I'm looking at blood work and while I'm trying to understand side effects, it is so important that we understand everything that the patient is feeling, which brings me to the next important topic, the caregiver's role in communicating with the healthcare team. A caregiver, because of what you do, you are giving the best life possible for your loved one. Not only are you providing emotional support, helping with daily tasks, such as cleaning or travel, you're also delegating different appointments and other very important parts of their life. But how can we focus on communication? It is important for you and your loved one to decide with each other what role should you play. And having this frank discussion will help during these appointments. Whenever we need to talk during our appointments, it's important to not only talk about side effects, as I just mentioned. Sometimes as a provider, we may get too focused on this. So it should be discussed whether or not your caregiver or the caregiver's listening, do you have permission to also bring up, hey, can we talk about other treatment options or what options are available in the future? Additionally, keeping track of communication, such as the phone numbers for the medical team or the passwords, being able to share that you're having challenges with these are also important for us to know during our appointments. In this way, as a physician, I can also loop in other people for our healthcare team, other providers that have other specialties that can help with giving the best care possible. Talking with the healthcare team and letting us know what is the priority. Do we want to go on a trip? Do we want to go somewhere or make it to a certain function is also important. In this way, we can all together decide what the best medications are, if we need to take breaks, and who else we should loop in, such as radiation oncology or social work or interventional radiology, different providers. So what I would say, the overview for metastatic triple-negative breast cancer, we are giving medication, and the medications we are giving now, more than ever, are advanced, and we're getting better and better at understanding how to provide care based on markers and based on DNA. But it is important for us to not only know what that patient is feeling in terms of side effects, but hearing what you have to say as the caregiver, because there are some things that our patients or any patient listening that at the time of the appointment we may not be focusing on. And so with that, I would like to say I am grateful for the time I got to speak today, and I am also grateful to all of the caregivers who are advocating with your loved one, so that way I know not only what I'm asking, but what will help me make better decisions with our patient together. Thank you, Dr. Messner.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Jones. That was really a stellar presentation. And, you know, you really set the tone for today's program. And it's wonderful that you spoke today and that you'll be on for the Q&A. So if people have questions for you, they'll be able to ask them. So thank you so much, really. I'm sure there'll be questions for you during the Q&A. Thank you. Just a wonderful presentation. Very expert and lots of compassion. Thank you. And our next speaker is Dr. Guadalupe Palos. Dr. Palos is former Clinical Protocol Administration Manager, Office of Cancer Survivorship, the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, author and researcher in caregiving, healthcare disparities, and survivorship. And Dr. Palos will be addressing taking on the role of caregiving, what research tells us about caregivers, and coping each day on special occasions, holidays, and birthdays, and managing family and friends. It's my great pleasure now to turn this program over to my esteemed colleague, Dr. Palos.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Dr. Messner, for that introduction. I want to remind our callers that November has been designated National Family Caregiver Month. Our caregivers may wish to visit the web for events offered by different organizations such as ARP, the National Council on Aging, and many, many other groups. So today's teleconference is based on good timing. I appreciate Dr. Jones' update on the advances in care and treatment for triple-negative breast cancer. Dr. Jones speaks of three basic tenets of the cancer journey: the caregiver, the communication, and the coordination of care. To continue our discussion on the role of caregiving, I will focus on the challenges, rewards, and lessons learned by caregivers in coordinating care. Let me begin by asking caregivers and patients joining us on today's call a question. As a caregiver, what are the three main challenges you face today? And as a patient, what challenges do you believe your caregiver faces? If you have trouble keeping the challenges to three, you're not alone. Research indicates that caregiving is an uncertain experience filled with changing and complex activities that eventually can impact a caregiver's quality of life and our patient's outcomes. Nearly everyone becomes an unpaid caregiver at some point in life, and some individuals stay in this role over extended periods of time, lasting months and even years. Caregivers have been seen as a valuable and essential resource in our healthcare system, yet caregivers are often underappreciated, overlooked, and somewhat invisible during patient-provider visits. Informal caregivers are frequently called on to provide highly demanding and complex care over long periods. Sadly, informal caregivers are often unprepared to provide this type of complex care, because they lack the professional skills and knowledge of caregiving. These uncertainties can lead to different situations. This uncertainty can also lead to stressful challenges, which can deteriorate the quality of life for both cancer patients and their informal caregivers. Published studies on the challenges of caregiving have identified common types of challenges: those associated with physical well-being, those associated with social well-being and financial burden, those associated with psychological well-being, and challenges associated with their spiritual well-being. So it's no surprise that caregiving significantly affects caregivers' health and well-being. Family caregiving, according to the research, has been associated with increased levels of depression, anxiety, higher use of psychotropic medications, poor self-reported physical health, and compromised immune function. These changes can then also lead to deterioration in the caregiver's weight, appetite, and physical strength, which eventually worsened the caregiver's physical well-being. As their well-being worsens, informal caregivers are less likely to provide high-quality caregiving for cancer patients. In addition to this, to the physical changes, caregivers often experience isolation and loneliness. These emotions, coupled with physical deterioration, increase the caregiver's risk to greater levels of anxiety, depression, sleep disturbances, and many others. Fortunately, a review of the literature indicates caregivers report that there are also rewards on being a caregiver. Examples include having closer relationships with others, including partners and children, establishing a greater appreciation of life, clarifying life's priorities, and increasing one's faith. So now let's move on to the next topic, the role of caregivers during special occasions such as holidays and vacations. Living with cancer during the holidays creates a unique experience for families. With thoughtful planning, a strong support system, and a realistic understanding of the role, family caregivers can give their loved ones the help they need without sacrificing their health and sanity and traditions. In the following moments, I'll cover strategies to manage the chaos associated with these special events. First and foremost, though, I'd like for us to remember that the informal caregiver and cancer patient should be treated as a unit because they're highly involved with each other's life. Based on the findings of a recently published research review, family conversations and activities can relax cancer patients and informal caregivers. Activities such as this also remind them of memorable events that happened in the past. In other words, informal caregivers are likely to benefit more if the cancer patient is involved in some of their care. So here, I'd like to begin with one strategy that can help. One helpful strategy is to develop a special preparedness plan. This plan is like a hurricane preparedness plan. It maps out the details on how to prepare for those special events. This plan can make trade-offs in people's roles when caring for a loved one during special occasions, especially if they may be living far away from their caregivers, which one of our speakers are going to address later. So one thing is, another thing is, be realistic about what can and cannot be done. For example, create a stable and realistic plan. 3, be flexible about traditions and customs associated with holidays or family gatherings. If your home was the hub of such activities, it may be time to make changes. So, for example, you can ask another family member to host the event and do most of the cooking. Invite fewer guests. It won't be so tiring for your loved one or you as a caregiver. And the positive, it sets an environment for better one-to-one conversation. Another thing that can be done, 4, is prepare video clips of past holidays. These clips provide a snapshot of memories from the past, and you can share those with your loved ones. This is even a time to create new traditions. So even if you cannot be there in person with your loved ones, you can also establish new activities and traditions. For example, you might want to use channels such as Zoom, Skype, WebEx, or FaceTime so you can be present at that event. You, your loved ones, and family can still be a part of the festivities as before. When travel is possible, give notice to your entire healthcare team that you will be traveling, for how long, and in what region. Is it going to be domestic or international? Ask them to help you identify critical tasks that must be followed, and if needed, suggest alternative methods with dealing with some of these functions. Another thing is, if you have pets that will not travel with you, let your veterinarian know about your travel and set up your boarding plan for your fur baby. Give the vet and facility your contact information in case of emergency. Don't forget to be very vigilant about your medications and talk to your pharmacist and your healthcare team of how to achieve that. And always have a ready-to-go bag packed. It can include necessary medical supplies, extra clothing, copies of essential documents such as copies of prescriptions, contact numbers of your healthcare providers, and members of your family team. It may often seem as if the caregiver is always prepared for the patient's needs, but forgets often about their own healthcare needs. So many caregivers often ask me, how can I involve other family members, friends, and neighbors in this caregiving experience? So how can you do that? First, assess your circle of support. If needed, widen that circle, asking neighbors or people from your place of worship or even local community centers for help. You may feel reluctant or embarrassed about asking for help, but stay focused on your goal, increasing your support circle for caregiving. Identify the roles of each family member or friend who wishes to be part of the team. Speak to family members, friends, and others in your circle of support about the type of role, duties, and responsibilities they feel most comfortable doing. Please remember, people like to help, and if given a chance, they will most likely say yes. This expanded network of circle of caregivers helps you, the caregiver, to lessen your caregiver burden. Your family or loved one will also benefit because they have a happier and healthier caregiver and other folks to interact with. Finally, and most important, keep tabs on your physical and mental health. Ms. Spector will elaborate on the importance of self-care and stress management. Thank you for allowing me to share these thoughts with you. If you have some tips that help you cope with the caregiver journey, take a moment to share them. And Dr. Messner, that concludes my remarks. I'll return the program back to you.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Palos. That was just a wonderful presentation. A chock full of lots of information for our participants, for our caregivers on the call, and to really think about things that many of the recommendations that you made. And also, we do encourage you during the Q&A that if you have a tip that worked for you and that we didn't discuss during the program itself, please feel free to share your tip during the Q&A. We very much appreciate that as well. So thank you so much, Dr. Palos. That was just a wonderful presentation, and we appreciate your covering such as these important topics. And our next speaker is Ms. Nina Kapoor Hinson. And Ms. Hinson is a supportive care nurse practitioner, advanced practice provider manager, supportive care, geriatric oncology, and integrative medicine, Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. And Ms. Kapoor Hinson will be addressing challenges in communicating with the healthcare team and your important role in decision making. It's my pleasure now to turn this program over to my esteemed colleague, Ms. Kapoor Hinson.
Thank you, Dr. Messner, and thank you to my colleagues who spoke earlier today. So I'll start with talking about challenges in communicating with the healthcare team. And first and foremost, I know Dr. Jones touched on this a bit, but you, first and foremost, it's really crucial for you to know how and when to reach out to your oncology team for both routine and urgent issues. It is important to have contact information for them during office hours and also after the office is closed, such as on weekends, evenings, and holidays. Some patients and caregivers may prefer to utilize electronic communication over making a phone call. Some examples of electronic communication platforms include MyChart, Portal, email, or text messaging. However, this may be convenient. It may not be the best way to communicate an urgent or emergent situation. Talk with your healthcare providers to understand how to reach out and what you can expect in terms of the response. For example, who will call you back and in how much time. Ask about what constitutes an urgent issue and the best way to communicate those issues. Next, I'll shift to what you're communicating itself and broaching difficult topics. So metastatic breast cancer can be a tough journey. There is a fatigue that occurs with dealing with cancer and cancer treatments, and there can also be feelings of instability due to fear of complications, progressions of cancer, financial problems, sexual problems, psychological problems, spiritual concerns, and disruption of the personal, familial, and social interactions in day-to-day life. These challenges that accompany cancer can cause patients and caregivers to live with feelings of uncertainty and helplessness. Communicating these issues to your healthcare team can provide multiple benefits. First and foremost, your healthcare team can be your sounding board to validate and normalize these experiences. Additionally, there may be solutions and other supports that can be offered, such as community resources, financial assistance, and referrals to specialists to reduce physical and emotional symptoms. It may be helpful to write down concerns prior to a visit in order to make the most of your time with your provider. You can even send these concerns to your provider ahead of the visit so they can prepare information for you. Caregivers play a vital role in communication. Research shows that caregivers who are involved in more aspects of a patient's care and those who are more engaged with the healthcare team help to activate patients to adhere to treatment, engage in healthy behaviors, and decision making. And now I'll shift to your important role in decision making. Caregivers play a vital role in supporting patients' decision making. Healthcare teams will always discuss health decisions with patients if they can think clearly and share their thoughts. Providers engage in shared decision making with the patient's perspective as the key factor in how to move forward with a plan of care. Your loved one may lean on you for advice and guidance when making decisions. They may even defer decision making to you altogether. Supporting decision making can be frustrating or overwhelming at times. It is important to remember that as much as possible, honor the patient's wishes and be realistic about the limits on what you and other caregivers can do. Sometimes, what the patient wants is not what others want or will do for them. When patients need help carrying out their wishes, it can be hard on those who want something different from what the patient wants. For this reason, it is important to encourage your loved one to share their wishes with you. If communication is challenging, engage your healthcare team. They can help facilitate communication themselves or with help from specialists. If a patient cannot make decisions for themselves, there are legal documents that can allow a designated person to share the patient's treatment decisions and wishes. Healthcare decisions can be made ahead of time in writing through documents like a living will or an advanced care directive, such as a durable power of attorney for healthcare. This is also known as a healthcare proxy. A healthcare proxy is a person who the patient designates to make healthcare decisions for them in the case that they cannot speak for themselves. This is a helpful document that all patients living with a serious illness should have completed. The patient should be encouraged, as I said before, to share their preferences with the person that they designate. As a caregiver, you can talk with your loved one about documents like this and encourage them to share their wishes with their healthcare team. Thank you, Dr. Messner. I'll turn back over to you.
Oh, thank you so much, Ms. Kapoor-Hansen. That was just a wonderful presentation with lots of fantastic information. I know that people will have questions for you during the Q&A. Just a wonderful presentation and a lot of important issues around decision-making and also documents that people need so that their wishes can be adhered to or that there's someone who can make appropriate decisions for them. So thank you so much. And I know there'll be questions for you during the Q&A, so thank you so much. And our next speaker is Dr. Stuart Fleischman. Dr. Fleischman is former founding director, Cancer Support Services, Continuum Cancer Centers of New York, now part of the Mount Sinai Health System, and he's an author and researcher in oncology. And Dr. Fleischman will be addressing guidelines to prepare for telehealth telemedicine appointments, including technology, prepared list of questions, and discussion of open notes. It's my pleasure now to turn this program over to my esteemed colleague, Dr. Fleischman.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for signing on to this informative call. My job is to speak about some of the advances in communication that we've had beyond what you've heard from our other speakers. With the many terrible things that happened during the COVID pandemic, one of the things that we learned to do is communicate not eyeball to eyeball or person to person, but actually online or on the phone. There are advantages and disadvantages to those types of visits, and we have learned to incorporate those into our daily practice now that in most areas the threat of a contagion to a certain extent or to a large extent has been relieved. So we now have the ability to do some initial visits and some follow-up visits. Those especially that don't need a physical exam as part of the visit, online or on the telephone. So if you're asked to do that, or you ask your provider's office to do that, just be certain that there's some preparation they need to do. Not terribly difficult, but important. So if you're going to set up an audio call or a telehealth call, usually through a computer or a tablet or even a smartphone, the office needs to confirm that with you, either the receptionist or the office manager or someone who's in charge of scheduling, so that the way that you're communicating, the platform or the system with which you're communicating is set up in advance. You need to make sure that your device is charged, be in a quiet place. And one of the most significant advantages, as Dr. Paolo suggested earlier, is that you could have a relative or a trusted friend who may be in another part of town, another city, another state, or even another country with a device, an internet-based device, and a permission to enter your call, actually be part of the discussion. Pre-pandemic, these helpers could only come to the visit by actually traveling, and now we can do it electronically, which is a major difference from before. So contact the office, make sure that your device is compatible, find out if you're going to call them, if they're going to call you, about what time it will be, and use the opportunity then before the call with you and possibly your family or the whoever is going to join you on the call to make sure that you have a list of questions to ask. That was mentioned before also. Very helpful because as another presenter said, you may be that the office may be able to look into some things or look up things for you that they may not have at their fingertips when they're on the telehealth visit with you. But you need to be clear about what you need to get out of this visit. And a caregiver especially can be really, really helpful in helping an individual patient really hone down the issues and get the most important things asked and make sure they are asked during the call. So here, caregivers, whether they're in the same room or anywhere else in the world, can actually be very helpful as in forming the questions as well as hearing the answers, because we know that during cancer treatment, most of us as patients get somewhat overwhelmed, sometimes don't register all the details, and having someone else on the call or online with you is generally very helpful. And once this is set up in advance, the visit should go relatively smoothly and could be a lot more convenient and a lot easier than actually going to an office. The other thing that has happened as a result of these very sophisticated systems to communicate is that results of lab tests, blood tests, urine tests, X-rays, all kinds of imaging, CAT scans, MRIs, PET scans, even pathology reports are now loaded online, and often you can see them before your provider's office even has a chance to know that they're there or look at them. I know that sounds backwards, but this is part of the health portability law and privacy law that we all call HIPAA. It's one of the things that happened when HIPAA came into being, and that's the way the law is written. It is difficult for many patients and caregivers because sometimes you get a message or a notification saying that information has been posted into your electronic record. The office may, but the office could get hundreds or many a day and can't follow them up as quickly as you can. So you can actually look at these reports, but please be careful in interpreting them. Instead of jumping to conclusions that may or may not be correct, please make an appointment or to call your provider's office and have one of the members of the team go over it with you. It may be the oncologist herself or himself. It may be their oncology nurse. It may be a physician's assistant. There are a number of other people in the practice that may be helping. But please don't jump to conclusions. During cancer treatment, it is expected that some of the results will be in the abnormal range. And if they're not, then your regimen needs to be adjusted. So unless you're really well trained in oncology, these reports are sometimes very hard to interpret, especially when it comes to pathology reports. Again, just be really circumspect about this, whether you're the caregiver or you're the patient, and make sure to reach out to the provider's office for help and explanation. Those are the topics I was asked to cover. I bet there'll be some questions about this, and I turn the call back over to Dr. Messner.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Fleischman. That was a superb presentation, and it's such an important topic because it's something particularly about getting those open notes ahead of time and having a chance to talk to your doctor and jump to conclusions. Be sure that you discuss it with your healthcare team because you often see them before your physician has even a chance to read them. And I know there'll be questions for you, Dr. Fleischman, during the Q&A, but that was a wonderful presentation, just incredibly timely. Thank you. And our next speaker is Ms. Haley Dinnerman, and Ms. Dinnerman is co-founder and executive director, Triple Negative Breast Cancer Foundation. And Ms. Dinnerman, of course, is responsible for today's program. She really helped to get funding for this program today, and she has supported so many triple negative breast cancer programs, both for cancer care and throughout the community. And Ms. Dinnerman will be addressing the free programs of the Triple Negative Breast Cancer Foundation. She'll be providing information about the Triple Negative Foundation Helpline and how to contact them as well. And so it's my pleasure now to turn this program over to my very esteemed colleague, Ms. Dinnerman.
Thank you so much, Carolyn. Thank you also to my fellow presenters and, of course, to all of you listening today. This teleconference is one of many programs offered by the Triple Negative Breast Cancer Foundation. We have many TNBC-specific educational brochures and fact sheets that are available in print and as free downloads from our website. These materials have special sections addressing issues of particular importance to those of you living with or caring for people with metastatic disease. We work hard to make sure that you can find relevant information and practical guidance in all of our materials, so I hope you'll use them to your benefit. Caregivers can play an important role in finding appropriate clinical trials for loved ones, which is very important. Our website, tnbcfoundation.org, offers two free and TNBC-specific clinical trials matching services. Our website also has a TNBC news section and online discussion forums. Other online resources include two private TNBC Foundation Facebook groups, so you can easily connect with thousands of women who are living with TNBC. If you're caregiving for someone with metastatic TNBC, we have another educational program happening tonight in partnership with Research to Practice. Our experts will be discussing metastatic TNBC, and you'll have the opportunity to have your questions answered as well. You can register for that at www.researchtopractice.com. Finally, we have three monthly online support groups for our TNBC community, Metastatic Mondays, Tuesdays with TNBC Friends, and Thursdays with TNBC Friends. Caregivers are always welcome on these Zooms, and they give you regular opportunities to connect with our caregivers and with the foundation, with other caregivers and with the foundation. I'd also like to invite you to join us this December for our Live from SABCS program. We will be at the San Antonio Breast Cancer Symposium to bring you information about new and emerging TNBC research. If you follow us on Facebook, Instagram, X, or visit our website, you'll get regular updates and be able to register for these and all of our other upcoming programs. So once again, thank you for joining us, and I'll now turn the program back to you, Dr. Messner.
Thank you so much, Ms. Dinnerman. That was just a wonderful program, a wonderful presentation.
and all of your services are just stellar. So for those of you who have not taken advantage of the Triple Negative Breast Cancer Foundation, please do. And we will be providing you, and you'll all be getting a SurveyMonkey evaluation sometime next week, actually. And in that evaluation, we'll have an evaluation of the program, but it also gives you a chance to get all of the resources that we mentioned during today's program. So thank you so much. And our next speaker is Ms. Cassie Spector, and Ms. Spector is a breast and gynecological cancers program coordinator at Cancer Care. And she'll be addressing the long-distance caregiving, self-care, and stress management recommendations to manage the stress of caregiving. And she'll be talking about some of the free programs and services offered by Cancer Care and the Triple Negative Breast Cancer Foundation. It's my pleasure now to turn this program over to my esteemed colleague, Ms. Spector.
Thank you, Dr. Messner. As mentioned, my name is Cassie Spector, and I'm the Breast and Gynecological Cancers Program Coordinator and Oncology Social Worker at Cancer Care. My role at Cancer Care includes providing supportive services to individuals and families impacted by triple negative breast cancer. The Triple Negative Breast Cancer Foundation and Cancer Care have partnered together to ensure those affected by TNBC have access to free psychosocial services and support. The Triple Negative Breast Cancer Foundation Helpline, which is generously funded by the Triple Negative Breast Cancer Foundation, provides callers with access to comprehensive services. These services include resource navigation, counseling, support groups, educational workshops, publications, and limited financial assistance. By calling the TNBC Helpline, individuals are connected with an oncology social worker aware of the physical, emotional, and practical challenges that may arise when a loved one is diagnosed with TNBC. Whether caring independently, with others, or from afar, you are considered a caregiver. Caregivers often have their own unique set of challenges or needs, and although you're not the person diagnosed with cancer, you are living with the disease every day. Caregivers may be tasked with managing and administrating treatment, helping their loved one cope with the emotional concerns, or take on practical responsibilities. Caregivers who are not local to their loved one can provide significant amount of emotional support, a listening ear, and social support for loved ones by phone, text, email, or virtually. You can also help your loved one to enlist additional support. You can arrange for other friends or family members to drop off meals or coordinate transportation. You can also learn about local support groups or workshops that the patient can attend. Patients may often rely on their caregivers to take care of some of the legwork when they don't have the energy, and these tasks can usually be done on a phone call or by email, so this might be helpful for a long-distance caregiver to do when they aren't nearby. There are websites and phone apps that may be useful to coordinate tasks or share updates, such as My Cancer Circle, Caring Bridge, or mylifeline.org. A cancer diagnosis raises many practical concerns and challenges. There are appointments to track and bills to pay, and there's paperwork to manage. As a caregiver, it likely may fall on you to manage many of these tasks, in addition to keeping up with usual responsibilities and maybe filling in for some of the roles that the patient may have handled when they were feeling well. Understanding your loved one's insurance policy, benefits, and even financial options may be important during this time. There are professionals at the treatment center who may be able to navigate some of these concerns, such as a financial counselor, a social worker, or patient navigator. There are also organizations that may be able to assist as well. Cancer Care offers resource navigation services, which is a short-term strength-based approach to assist patients and caregivers affected by cancer nationally. A trained specialist will work with the client in connecting them to resources, referrals, and financial assistance. Navigating a metastatic triple negative breast cancer diagnosis can be stressful and emotionally difficult for caregivers, and it's important to make sure that you also care for yourself. Having a community of support can help caregivers maintain their physical and emotional well-being, which in turn makes them better able to care for their loved one. Caregivers may choose to supplement their existing social networks by joining a support group or engaging in counseling. Many hospitals, treatment centers, and nonprofit organizations offer supportive services. Joining a support group can be a way of connecting with others going through a similar experience. Cancer Care and the Triple Negative Breast Cancer Foundation offer a specific triple negative breast cancer caregiver national online support group. This online support group aims to reduce feelings of loneliness and anxiety and determine ways to continue to care for yourself as you care for your loved one. The online support group takes place using a password-protected message board format and is led by professional oncology social workers who offer support and guidance. You can register for an online support group through Cancer Care's website, cancercare.org, by selecting our services, then support groups. In addition to individualized support, you can also practice self-care and relaxation exercises. These might be helpful during a challenging time. Self-care is defined as the practice of taking an active role in protecting one's own well-being, particularly during times of stress. Relaxation techniques can be done as a family and with your loved one, such as taking a deep breath together for a quick reset, or spending a few minutes reading, or even trying to rest yourself. Sitting next to your loved one doing word puzzles during treatment could be helpful or a way to de-stress, or finding a game that you both enjoy. This could be forms of self-care. Self-care does not need to be away from your loved one, but it's okay to take some time for yourself as well. Additional practices that may help to relieve stress include journaling, yoga, meditation, mindfulness, listening to music, or connecting with nature by going on a hike or a walk. I do want to note that everyone's experience is unique, and what works for one person or one family member may not look the same, but I do hope that this information will be helpful as you move forward. If you're interested in learning more about the services that the Triple Negative Breast Cancer Foundation and Cancer Care offer, I encourage you to call the Triple Negative Breast Cancer Helpline at 877-880-8622. Our oncology social workers can share additional information about our services and can also help you explore ways to connect with others, including support groups and financial assistance resources. Thank you so much for your attention. I'll now turn it back to Dr. Messner.
Oh, thank you so much, Ms. Spector. That was a wonderful presentation, and I know there'll be questions for you during the Q&A as well, so thank you so much. And now we're going to move on to the Q&A, and I'm going to ask Regina to explain to you how to pose a question online. And we'll try to take as many of your questions as possible. Regina?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we'll take questions from the web only, and you may submit questions by clicking Ask a Question.
Excellent. We have quite a few questions here. So this is a question for Ms. Kapoor Henson. Where do you recommend I start doing my research on as a caregiver? I want to be better informed about TNBC, but not overwhelmed by all the available information online. If you could please comment on that.
So that's a great question. And there is tons of information online. I would say, first and foremost, any specific questions that you have, I would suggest reaching out to your oncology team and just, you know, going through those specific questions, because it's hard to kind of parse through all the information and decide, you know, which part of that is relevant to you, because there's so many different types of resources. But the NCCN, the National Cancer Care Network, that is a great resource. They have information there for in very, you know, plain language for patients and caregivers to understand to better get to know the disease that you're dealing with, and treatment plans, and kind of what to expect and next steps. So I think it's a great resource. Maybe start there, but always engage your healthcare team as well for specific questions.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And a question for Dr. Jones. I am my grandmother's caregiver, and English is not her first language. When we go to doctor's appointments, I am often expected to explain things to her, like her treatment options and potential outcomes, often when I don't entirely understand it myself. What can we do to avoid a situation like this? Sometimes they will use a translator if available, but even then, I still have to step in. Dr. Jones, could you comment on this? This is probably a frequent question.
Yes, I'm so grateful for this question, and I want to applaud this this caregiver, because it is a caregiver's role to take care of our patient, but it's our role. It's the doctor's role. It's our office's role to ensure good communication. And it is not recommended that caregivers be the ones to do the translating, because it is our responsibility. So what I would say to that, and I'm very surprised to hear that you are being asked for this role, but what I can offer to you then is to request an interpreter. I would also request for you to reach out, not to necessarily to the doctor, but even the office manager or the leaders of the clinic, to ask, what is the process to ensure that my grandmother has a translator every time? It is her right as a patient to always have a translator. So you are right to advocate for this. And depending on certain institutions, you may also ask them, what kind of translation support do you offer? Is it telemedicine only, or are there also in-person translators? Oftentimes, in-person translators can have that extra emotional piece and or better way of explaining than the digital version. So in summary, what I would say is advocate, 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 just like you're doing. If it feels wrong, it's because it probably is wrong. So please ask the leadership, ask the social worker or anybody in there to say, what can I do to make sure that I get this every time? Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. Excellent. Excellent response to that question. For Ms. Spector, can you provide more advice on long-distance caregiving? I set up at home health care for my mom. Well, I cannot be there for her all the time, but I feel so guilty about it. Are there groups for people in similar situations like me?
Well, first, I just wanted to normalize that feeling of guilt. It's really normal to have that coming up for you. And in terms of long-distance caregiving, I think it's important that if to have that conversation with your mom of, like, what can you do from afar? Are there certain things that you can do to care for her? Maybe it's providing emotional support when she needs, or setting up more coordination. I know you mentioned that she has home health aid. So being able to really figure out what she may need and how to support her, but also for yourself. It's difficult to be far away from a family member. So there are support groups available. I'm not sure of specific groups for long-distance caregivers. Most likely they're more general for all types of caregivers, but I bet if you do join a caregiver group that you will find that there are other people in similar situations that are also long-distance caregiving. So I definitely encourage you to reach out to support, because I know the feelings that are coming up for you are very normal and expected when you are long-distance caregiving.
Excellent. Thank you. And I'm going to ask all of our speakers to provide takeaways for everybody on this call. I'm going to start with Dr. Jones, and then Ms. Kapoor Hinson, then Dr. Fleischman, and then Ms. Spector. So, Dr. Jones, do you want to go first?
Yes. Thank you again for the opportunity, and I thank everybody listening on the call. I would say the takeaway that I would like to share is that the way that we're treating triple negative breast cancer is evolving rapidly, offering more and more hope. But as a caregiver, taking care and assisting somebody that has metastatic breast cancer, whether it's a loved one, a friend, a neighbor, a parent, your role in communicating, your role in advocating is priceless. And at the end of the day, your voice is just as important as our patient's voice. There's a reason why that patient has trusted you. And I hope you know that all physicians like myself, we trust you too. So thank you for what you do. And I look forward to us continuing to move the needle for your loved ones.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Johnson. Ms. Kapoor Hinson, your takeaway.
Thank you. That was wonderful, Dr. Jones. I wanted to add to that and say, communicate freely with your healthcare team. You've got nothing to lose, and maybe we can help. Honor your loved one's wishes and help to facilitate their preferences and values being heard. And your voice and your support is so helpful in keeping your loved ones moving forward. And they are truly really lucky to have you in their lives.
Oh, thank you so much. Excellent takeaway. And Ms. Spector?
Yeah,
oh, wait, I'm sorry. Dr. Fleischman.
Shirley, two things. If you're going to have a telehealth visit with your providers, please understand what you need to prepare, both on your end and on the provider's end in advance, and make sure your devices are charged. And if you communicate with your provider through an online portal and there are blood tests or x-rays or pathology reports, when you read them, please make an appointment with someone in the provider's office to go over them with you. They're complex and they can be easily misunderstood.
Oh, thank you so much. And Ms. Spector now, yes.
Thank you. Thanks so much for everyone's input. And I would say my takeaway would be being a caregiver can feel really isolating. It can feel really lonely. But know that there is support available for you as a caregiver, and no matter what that looks like in terms of who you're caring for. So know that there's organizations, places to reach out to for support, and know that you're not alone. And really to reach out, talk to your healthcare team, and really see what supports are available for you.
Oh, thank you so much. Just a wonderful presentation. I really want to thank all of our speakers. It's been a magnificent call today. I also want to thank all of our people who asked questions, really great questions that really enhanced the program today. And I do want to suggest that you all, for those of you who asked a question, for those of you who have a question yet in queue, please be sure that you take the questions that you asked today or the question you have in queue, and please send that question to talk to your healthcare provider about the question, because you've learned a lot today from the program, and we want you to kind of use those what you've learned today on the program. So please do do follow up with your questions with your healthcare provider. Again, they know everything about you. They have access to your medical records. They know you the best, and they're excellent to actually be able to see all the things to help you with your questions, and ask your question as often as you need to. Also, as has been mentioned already on the call, that often evenings, weekends, and holidays are the most difficult times sometimes to reach your provider. So always check with them as to their availability on evenings, weekends, and holidays, so you're very clear, because we have a lot of holidays coming up. Again, I want to thank you all for your participation today, and I want to wish you all a very fine day. Thank you all.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation. This concludes the workshop, and you may now disconnect. Everyone, have a great day.